Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RootRootRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com/radio, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. This is episode number 454. With me tonight is David Fair from Steel City Crew. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. So I was telling David off the air, and just to fill everybody else in, so it took 453 episodes before I brought a tribute band on. So so we'll see how this goes.
Right. That's all right. Better late than never.
So I have a funny story to tell you. Maybe I think it's funny. So I've seen the crew exactly two times.
Okay.
The first time was Carnival of Sins.
Right.
And the second time I saw them on tour with Kiss.
Okay.
Obviously, a lot more recent than most people would consider their heyday. But I enjoyed both of them. The first time I went with my brother. The second time I went with my wife. Okay. The Carnival of Sins tour. Did you go to that one?
Yeah, I've actually seen every tour. Except the one with Karabi, and there was one after that. I think they called it Motley Crue versus the World or something like that. But I've seen every other tour they've done.
Did you see that one at I can't ever remember. What is it now? Post Gazette Pavilion at Star Lake.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's always Star Lake to us.
Yeah. That was the weekend of Hurricane Katrina hitting in Louisiana, and it poured.
Yep. So I was there.
So it was the first time I ever got yelled at by security. I wasn't, like, having never been to a Motley Crue concert, I was, what's the word? How do I want to word this? It was overwhelming. That's I wasn't expecting the little people coming out from under hoop dresses and
right.
The Kiss tour one was more like what I thought I was gonna see. And my wife was like, I am never gonna see this band again. It's like, you should have seen them the first time.
Yeah, they like to pour a lot into a show.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but like, to this day, I'm still going, wow, I can't believe I saw that on stage.
Right, right.
So that brings me to my first question. So what drew you to doing the tribute of Motley Crue?
I can remember I was sitting in, we were floating around in my pool with my fiance, and I had just gotten out of a band, and I was kind of sour on life and looking for the next thing to do. And I was looking, kind of going over things in my head of the local music scene. And, you know, there's this kind of band or that kind of band. There's multitudes of everything out there. What don't we have in our, the city that I could do that would be different? And, you know, there's tribute bands out there, but I'm like, there isn't a Motley Crue tribute band. What would you think of, you know? And I asked her, I said, what would you think of that? And she goes, yeah. Because, and it was actually another thing that led me to that was I'm primarily a guitar player. You know, some people don't know that about me. I grew up a guitar player worshiping Eddie Van Halen, Zakk Wylde, George Lynch, all that stuff. When I sing, my natural singing voice, anytime I would take a song in the band or just be screwing around at rehearsal, everybody says, you know who you sound like when you sing? I said, Vince Neil. Yeah, you sound exactly like him when you sing. So I just put two and two together and figured I'd give it a shot.
Now, I know that the band was together, and then there was like a hiatus, and then you came back together.
Right.
Is it the same lineup, or is it a different lineup?
No, it's me and the original drummer, and we got a new bass player, a new Nikki Six, and a new Mick Mars on guitar. Greg Smith is the bass player now, and Dave Batistig is Mick Mars in the band.
Now, do you have any stories? Like, I usually ask local bands for embarrassing moments, but I ask them, like, I want you to tell me about something that the other person did that embarrassed you. But I feel like being in a Motley Crue tribute band, that you probably could come up with. Even if you had to make it up, a story.
Oh, no, we have stories.
I'm going to guess that they probably don't go quite as far as the actual band story would go, though.
Oh, you'd be surprised. But before I get in, before I get into a story, I mentioned the original drummer. I feel remiss. His name is Guy Cole. I didn't mention his name. So, what do you want, like a road story? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, there's lots of times where girls come up, and, you know, one of the things we do for the show is when we always save the song Girls, Girls, Girls for the final song. And one of the little, I guess you'd call it a shtick that we do, is we whatever song we play right before that, we stop and we're like, hey, we played all the songs, right? You know, we didn't miss any. And then that gets them whipped up that they want to hear the girls' song. So I'll pull a bunch of girls on stage with me. And, you know, then we start it, and then everybody dances and everybody's having a good time. There's always girls that are like, this is their stripper moment. You know, like they're going to put on a show for everybody. There's girls that, you know, roaming hands, I guess you would call it, just every kind of story like that. And, you know, we'll be tearing down, and, you know, this might sound egotistical, but usually there's a bunch of, you know, people hanging out after the show that want to get pictures or something. And there's girls be like, hey, you know, what are you doing after the show? You know, and that kind of thing. And I'm always like, you know, we wear wigs and makeup and I'm like, you know, all this stuff comes off, right? Like, I'm not him. So yeah, there's multitudes of those stories. It just goes on. Like, it's a smaller scale. It's not up to a Motley Crue level or where there's 12 girls backstage. But, yeah, there's always some kind of craziness going on, you know.
I was thinking of why am I blanking on their name now? Steel Panther.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I've been playing a show with the guys, and I look out, and this is a bar, this is a club, and I look out, and there's some girl in the back with her shirt off, flashing the band, and I'm, hey, all right. Yeah. So, yeah, it happens.
Does your drum riser spin?
We can't fit that into a club, but I'm sure we do just about everything else. Except real fire, we had a way to, simulate fire, which was funny because it was totally harmless and there was absolutely no heat to it. But we would be playing like Shot at the Devil and, probably hear my dog in the background.
I did hear that.
But we would be playing something like Shot at the Devil and, the song would kick in and I'd go, Shot at the Devil! And we'd throw up these they were fake flames, but they went like 8 feet in the air and you would see people like diving away from the stage and like under chairs and stuff. And then I would like actually stand over them a couple times. Like, see, it's just steam or not steam. It's like fog juice and there's a way to color it that makes it look like fire.
Ah, I would have never guessed that's how you did it.
Well, trade secrets.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Right.
Not cutting it, sorry.
I didn't tell you the light color combination, but
that's true. So what's your favorite Cruise song to cover?
Oh, geez. There's a bunch for different reasons. I actually like doing Home Sweet Home because although we can't bring out a piano on stage, we have a piano backing track. So sometimes you can see people, we'll hit the trigger to play the piano part and you can see people's faces where they're like, oh, I didn't think they were going to play this one, because there's no piano, there's no keyboard or anything. I always like it. And that's always, people love to sing that one. I hardly have to sing that one. I can just sing the first line and the crowd will do the rest. There's a bunch. I always liked performing If I Die Tomorrow, which is a lesser known song. But those are like really, I really like the lyrics to that one. And, I kind of sing that one to my fiance when I'm on stage. Because the lyrics are like, if I died tomorrow, have I said everything I want to say to you? So I'm going to say it now. So I like that one. The old songs are great, like Looks at Kill, anything off Dr. Feelgood album, the crowd loves that. I love people getting up and dancing and singing along with us, So those would probably be those are probably my three favorites.
Cool. Sorry, my cell phone is vibrating and other teachers commenting. See, that I will cut out.
Oh, okay.
But I'm trying to think what I would consider my favorite Motley Crue song. I mean, obviously Girls, Girls, Girls is a fun one.
Right.
Man, what would I don't know. I never really thought about it. I mean, I should have thought about it before I mentioned it.
Well, you can dub this in later. So.
That's right. Or hey. Just edit it out.
Right.
I feel like so many things I can ask you that I can't ask an original band. What's it like in the Pittsburgh scene as a tribute band?
It can be hit and miss, I mean, we've played shows where, a lot of people sell out the Hard Rock, and it's kind of hard for me to talk about something like this because I feel like I'm sounding like an egotistical ass about things, and I really don't mean to. I'm just telling you what happened. we played a show at the Hard Rock, and a lot of bands sell out the Hard Rock, you know. Some don't, but a lot do. We played a show there that they actually oversold by a wide margin. They closed the doors. We didn't go on until 10:30, I want to say. And they had oversold that show so bad that they closed the doors at 8. And they called in the Pittsburgh police to, like, for crowd control. And, you know, there's a little dressing area that they have back there. And I came out. And like I said, this was 2.5 hours before the show even started. And people were literally sardine canned from the stage back to our dressing room. And somebody's like, there's people outside on the sidewalk, like, arguing with the police because they have tickets and they can't get in.
How do they oversell? I mean, they know how many.
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't want to disparage anybody, but I think what happened was they weren't taking into consideration walk-up sales. They thought they were only going to do, like, online ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of didn't put a cap on the sale, the online sale. So they oversold the ticket sales online, and then they didn't count for people walking up, you know, just through the door. So, like,
and it's hard to turn those people away when you're a bar and restaurant.
Right. And when you're at the Hard Rock, you know, they have a policy that if you're, you know, it's a restaurant primarily. And if you're eating dinner and it's showtime, you can stay for the show. I think you still have to pay, but you can stay for the show. They don't throw you out.
Right.
So there was three factors there. And somebody had gotten word back, like, there's people on the outside with tickets that can't get in. And I'm like, oh, geez. So I, like, worm my way through the crowd. And, of course, people are like, oh, they're coming on. Like, no, not yet. Still got 2 hours. So I go out, and I look, and there's people on the sidewalk with tickets in their hand. And they're like, I bought a ticket. And the cops are like, I don't care. You know, this is a fire hazard. And I'm like, and I felt terrible. Like, you know, like, people were getting rightfully angry, and I didn't know what to do for them. So, like, the best thing I could do was we had thrown the stuff on, the costumes and stuff on. We'd thrown them out on early and then kind of went out and were like, we can take a picture with you or something. I don't know what to do, you know. So we've had shows like that. And then we've had shows where paid attendance was 14. You know? And it was a show that was well advertised and we thought would be, you know, a sardine can audience. Everybody's packed in tight. And we had 14 people show up. So, you know, it can be hit and miss. And it's, you know, it's usually good. But, you know, it, just like any other band, we've had shows that were just paid rehearsals, you know.
What's one thing that you love about the Pittsburgh scene and one thing that you would love to change about the Pittsburgh scene?
Oh, geez. Just one thing?
That's been the response a lot lately.
Yeah. What do I love about it? We are an area that has a megaton of great talent. Great original talent. You know, I'm thinking about bands like Neverwake, Homicide Black, Silk Nine, Reign of Z, the list goes on. And these, a lot of times I feel like these are like actually pro level bands that are in our city. You know, mm-hmm. So there's always something going on. If you're into original music, it's out there, you know. So that's something I love. What would I change? We can kind of get stuck in the 70s and 80s with some of the cover bands and some of the radio stations, like, you know, our the big mega station we have here is WDVE, and you know, they're great people and all, but man, their playlist can be dusty at best. I love WLER out of Butler because they'll play anything, you know, rock oriented. They'll play, I swear to God, I've heard, we have a local original band, After the Fall, mm-hmm. or I've heard Chip Demonic too. He has a new act, Chip in the Charge Ups. But I've heard on WLER, I've heard After the Fall, The Doors, and Megadeth played 1, 2, 3 right after the other. You know, you can't beat that, you know.
Yeah, they're definitely good support. Well, great supporters of the music scene.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Especially with their grassroots show.
Right.
And
I know Utah. I'm friends with Utah.
Yep. Do you know his real first name?
I do not.
I do. And I'm not going to give it on the air, but I'll tell you later.
All right.
He actually, and I've told this story on the air before, so I'll make it quick. He actually paid for my akmusicscene.com domain the first year I owned it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I've known him since before then, but that was 2004 when that happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, if you're tuned in and you have not tuned in to the Grassroots Show, you should go to 977rocks.com and check out everything they offer there, but especially the Grassroots Show. I've been on that a couple times. They're great supporters of what I do as well as the scene.
Yeah, they are. I can't say enough good things about those guys.
Sorry. How about we take a short break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the scene and Steel City Crew.
Cool.
Okay, so we will be right back.
Questions, love questions, it's impossible to understand. You've gotta take his hand. Cause he's in command. He's fighting fire. To take you higher. Just drop it all down. There's no way to look around.
I understand. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 454. If you are on one of the stations and are just tuning in, with me tonight is David Fair from Steel City Crew out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Tribute band, and I'm sure you can figure out for which band by the title of the band. Eliminated my question of where did the band name come from?
yeah. We actually kicked around a couple, and
I guess
that was what we settled.
Were there any that were really close to being used that you wouldn't mind disclosing?
Well, the thing is, we wanted something original, and what tribute bands usually do is they'll name themselves like after an album or a song, a popular song that the band does. So we would go in and search, you know, like we had a list of names that we liked. And it was like Dr. Feelgood. That was taken. In fact, there was actually a pretty popular Motley Crue tribute in Pittsburgh before us, and they were called Dr. Feelgood. So that was off the that immediately came off the list. And then you know, anything Shot at the Devil. Nope, there's three bands in California using that one. you know, you just go down the list. So I'm like, why don't we do something like, can't we do something regional? Or even specific to the city. So, you know, I threw out Steel City Crew, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, all right, that sounds good.
So that's how it was born then.
Yeah.
Let's start right off with the question we were talking about off the air.
Okay.
So if there was one thing that you could tell potential fans of Steel City Crew about your band, what would it be?
Potential fans. Well, I would say, you know, if you like Motley Crue, if you like, you know, the visuals of the special effects and you like all that stuff, you know, we try to cram as much of that as we can into a club show. You know, various versions of what we can do are dependent on the club, but you know, you'll never see us just kind of standing around playing songs, looking at our feet. You know, like we come out and you know
So you're saying you're not a grunge tribute band,
right? But you know, we always come out in full costume. We wear the guy liner and you know, whatever style of makeup we feel like wearing at that time. So we always are kind of our motto is it's the sight and sounds of the big arena, right in the club. As far as anything else like that, you know, we're talented guys. You know, or at least we try to be. You know, we have great guys in the band. You know, they played in different bands. I've played in different bands. You know, it kind of irks me a little bit when sometimes you'll see people say that they don't like tribute bands they say they don't like tribute bands because like we're stealing the legacy of a band, or we're you know, we're not talented enough to play in a quote unquote real band. Like that, and that's just ridiculous. I mean, we do what we do, and I think I can speak for a lot of bands. We do it because we love the music, and some of these bands don't tour all that often or anymore, or they don't even exist anymore. You know, obviously, if there's a Led Zeppelin tribute band, well, Led Zeppelin doesn't exist anymore, and you know, kind of the philosophy is, you know, you have younger people coming up, the younger generation, and rock and roll survives by one generation handing it off to the next one, you know? So, like, the people, the generation of the 70s handed rock and roll off to the kids of the 80s. They handed it off to the 90s, and, you know, everybody does what they're going to do with it. So it's, you know, if somebody is a big Led Zeppelin fan, there's absolutely no way for them to see Led Zeppelin live. But if you go see a band like Get the Led Out, which is a phenomenal, phenomenal Led Zeppelin tribute. Well, hey, there's the music live, you know. And I guarantee you, I don't know anybody in that band. I guarantee you those guys aren't up there like, oh, I'm really Jimmy Page or I'm really Robert Plant. It's they do it because they love it. They don't want the music to die. And it's a way to keep it alive. And that's kind of the same philosophy we have, too. You know, Motley Crue doesn't tour anymore. So, you know, we don't get up there and we don't try to fool anybody or lie to anybody and pretend that we're actually Motley Crue and you should, like, you know, give us all of your love. It's, we love the music. We love the performance. We want to keep it alive. And that's really it.
So let's talk about, because you touched on some of this for. When did you decide you wanted to be a musician?
Oh, geez. I can remember, you know, it's so funny is, you know, the older guys, you know, the Eddie Van Halens and the, Jimmy Pages and stuff like that. Those guys, they always talk about the moment I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. Mm-hmm. That's when I decided. I have that moment. But it wasn't obviously the Beatles because I was born in 1969 and the Beatles were over, almost over by then. My moment was the 83 US Festival and it was Heavy Metal Day. And, you know, I'm just some little kid, some little yard ape in small town, southwestern PA. And I had never seen any of these bands live. We didn't have MTV yet. Or at least we didn't have MTV yet. You know, I was too young and Pittsburgh was too far away to go to concerts or anything like that. So I had only ever seen bands like Kiss and Van Halen and Black Sabbath. I'd only ever seen them in magazines like Hit Parade and stuff like that, a circus magazine. So I can't remember who it was, if it was Showtime or HBO or it was somebody. They had decided they were going to televise the US Festival, and it was Heavy Metal Day, and Heavy Metal Day had Triumph, the Scorpions, they had Ozzy, who else did they have? Quiet Riot, and Van Halen was the opener. Or, no, I'm sorry, not the opener, they were the headliner. And Van Halen was my absolute, you know, favorite band ever. So this is like, I'm sitting on TV and like, here is Van Halen and I'm watching them and they're playing live and I can see Roth do his kicks and I can see Michael Anthony swing that bass around and, you know, everything else. And I'm watching Ed and like, I worship Ed as a deity to this day, you know. And they were playing Dance the Night Away. And if you find a video on YouTube, you'll see what I'm talking about. At the end of the at the end of the song, he's standing over on one side of the stage, and he sprints to the other side of the stage, does a baseball slide, like he's sliding in a second base, stands right back up, and the entire time he's playing, he never misses a note. And to me, that was the absolute coolest thing I had ever seen in my life, and I'm like, I got to do that. Whatever he just did, I got to do that. And that started it. You know, bugged the hell out of my parents or my mom for a guitar, and we went from there.
Which song did you say it was again? Because I am going to YouTube.
Dance the Night Away. It's at the very end. He does a baseball slide and keeps playing.
Okay, dance. We'll get there. I'm not going to type it all out. I think I found it. Van Halen, Dance the Night Away, US Fest.
Yep.
Okay, I'll watch it when we're done.
Okay.
I found it. Cool. I also found a full concert.
Yeah, the full concert is actually pretty phenomenal.
So, what about, like, if I was to look at your music collection, and you've alluded a little bit to that, like Van Halen and Kiss, mm-hmm. and obviously Motley Crue, but what other bands might I see in there? Triumph?
Oh, you would probably lose your mind. Because I listen to just about everything. I'm trying to think some of the more wide range of stuff. I have Paula Abdul in my list. I have Frank Zappa. I have all the 70s rock, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Van Halen, Kiss, even some stuff today, you know, like, well, not today, but Nirvana. It's weird that Nirvana's played on the classic radio stations now.
It is, because, like, I'm a little younger than you, not a lot younger, but you know, that's the stuff we grew up with. So right. To us, that's contemporary, except when I try and get my kids to listen to it, they're like, what is this old stuff?
Right. And but I have, like, some jazz stuff. I love just some experimental stuff, prog rock, you know, like Yes, stuff like that. Some odd bands that kind of, they were rock bands, but they might have had a minor hit, like, you know, Extreme. You know, everybody thinks Extreme is more than words, and but they've written some great stuff that people just don't know. They only think of More Than Words. You know, there's some stuff out today that I like. I love the Winery Dogs. Pretty much anything Billy Sheehan touches, I love. I don't know why. You know, and then, you know, just the classic. I like to get stupid with some 80s pop a lot, you know. I'll be driving somewhere and I'll hit a Cyndi Lauper song will come on, you know. I'll be on there time after time. You know? Yeah, but the only thing I really don't listen to is country. But that's like the new country, you know. You know, I'll throw down some Johnny Cash or Buck Owens any day, you know.
I throw this name out all the time. When I was growing up, my parents were country fans. And, mm-hmm. I remember my dad had a cassette player in the car. And for those of you born recently, look it up. And they used to play Johnny Horton.
Yeah.
And to this day, like, I actually used Googled the War of 1812 last year while I was teaching about the War of 1812, and had my seventh graders listen to it, and they went home and played it for their parents.
That was wild. Yeah, I love some of that old 70s, like the main, I don't know if you'd call it pop country, but, you know, Ronnie Millsap and Glenn Campbell, you know, that's when I grew up. That's what was in the house. It was that 70s rhinestone cowboy level of country. And then you know, there was some pop stuff, you know. So that's kind of what I grew up on.
Yeah, but most of the stuff that's on the radio today is really just pop music with a name attached to it.
Right.
This is country station. No, I think I'm listening to pop. This is your rock station. No, this sounds like pop too.
Yeah, I've seen things like that where they'll be talking, like, I really don't know any of the current stars. I think Luke Bryan, is that somebody?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, but like they'll be like you know, dissecting a song, and I'm like, okay, that's really like a hip hop drum beat. And then what am I like? Am I actually hearing like a scratch record, like wicka wicka wicka, something like that, or you know, there's a lot of I noticed in some modern country there's a lot of clapping and snapping where there would be a snare drum, you know. Mm-hmm. So it would be like boom 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 ba-doom, doom. You know, it's that for the whole song, and I'm like, okay, all right.
Let's go two more questions.
Sure.
Let's see. You are not allowed to say Motley Crue for this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So if you could live the movie Rockstar, and this is mm-hmm. a perfect question for you, and you were in a tribute band. Uh-huh. So far, you're with me, right?
Yep.
Which band would you do a tribute for, not Motley Crue, and okay. end up fronting?
End up fronting?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's remember, Rockstar was a movie about a tribute band in Pittsburgh, and the lead singer went off to make it big. So, let's see.
Anyways, from Ohio, and they say that it didn't go down that way. But,
well, if I had to front the band, geez, and I can't say Motley Crue, it would probably
easy way out. That's why,
right? I guess if it was a tribute band that I had to front, I would probably do Kiss. Because when I'm in other bands, you know, I try to entertain the crowd in between songs if that's my role in the band. And I blatantly rip off Paul Stanley's raps every time, you know. You know, people, how are you tonight? Let me tell you.
I've been to quite a few Kiss shows, and he says the exact same thing every time he's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Do you ever notice? Here's one for you. You might have to look this one up. Flip Wilson, the comedian Flip Wilson, used to do a character called Geraldine. I don't know if you remember or you're familiar. Go back and you can look on YouTube and look up Flip Wilson's Geraldine character and the way Geraldine talks. It's exactly a Paul Stanley rap because Geraldine would come out, "Let me tell you something, honey." And Paul Stanley does the same thing. So, yeah, it would probably be Kiss. But that's if I was fronting. If I was going to do another tribute band, I would be on guitar. And, of course, it would probably be Van Halen. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, but that you attempted that, but it didn't get off the ground.
Yeah, for a hot minute, I started a Van Halen tribute. And it was actually, I would love to try it again. We were actually going to do, it was kind of what we called the best of both worlds. We were going to do some Dave song, half the show as a Roth tribute, and then half the show as a Sammy Hagar tribute, so that we could play the best of both worlds, you know. But yeah, that kind of fizzled out and didn't get off the ground. That was a pity, because I really liked those guys. Those guys were, everybody that was played in the band was very talented, so kind of disappointed I didn't get off the ground.
I'm pretty sure I know who the drummer was.
Yeah, that was Matt Ferrante.
Yeah. that's how I knew about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so last question for you.
Sure.
If someone listening tonight would like to book Steel City Crue, how would they go about that?
Oh, well, you can go to our Facebook page, which is Facebook, just search Steel City Crue, will come up. You can go to our website, which is stillcitycrue.com. All the information's on there. You call my phone number, send an email, you know, and we'll get back to you. I'll get back to you personally.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on and giving us a little insight into the workings of a tribute band.
Sure.
And talking to us about the Pittsburgh scene through eyes that we don't normally get to ask them about.
Cool. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
No problem. And if you want to, real quick, do you want to name some of the bands that you've been in?
Oh, the bands I've been in, I was in the original version of Zion Cross. That went through a couple personnel changes, but the Climo Brothers.
Yep, everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, everybody knows Dan and Dave. They're great guys. The Climo Brothers, who did I play? I was in the Woohoo Band for like 5 minutes. who else did I play with? Jeez, drawing a blank. I was in a band called The Catch. Nobody would know them. I was in a band, Addiction Trio, Wine, Women, and Song, The Addiction Trio. Nobody would remember them either, but I've been around. And I'm always you know, going out to see other bands and you know, getting on stage. Either they invite me or I just bull rush my way on. So.
So you have a little John Wayne in you then. You know who he is?
I know who John Wayne. What, yeah. John Wayne Gacy?
No. John Lane.
Ah.
The American Hilljack.
John Lane.
Yeah.
John Lane. I thought you said John Wayne. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I've never met him, but I know who you're talking about.
You know who I mean. Yeah. Yeah. If he's there and there's a stage, he's gonna get on it.
Oh, jeez. So actually, I am possibly starting up another project with some guys. Nothing really to talk about yet, but I'll keep you posted.
Okay. And if it gets to the point that you're ready to come on this show or on Three Questions and a Song, that one does require original music.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets to that point, let me know and we'll hook you up.
Sure. Cool.
All right, so this has been episode number 300. Look at that. 454 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out each and every week on parockshow.com. Next week, we will have... I don't have that page pulled up. That is a weekly occurrence. Next week, we'll have Brad Abbott. We'll follow that up with Highway Louie, Human Delusion, Fubar, Wretched Hive, Feast on the Fallen. We're going to interview the owner of Liveberg Studio. Are you familiar with Liveberg Studio?
I am not.
It is. Now I'm going to give you something to look up.
Cool.
So it is a touring house in Pittsburgh, where bands can rent it out and stay there when they play in the city. And they have, like, a music room set up and all kinds of stuff for the bands to entertain themselves. Basically, it's like a bed and breakfast for bands.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
So we're going to talk with them on May 3rd. So,
All right.
So once again, this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show, and we'll catch you next week with Brad Abbott.
Try.